Okay, Wednesday evening, 3/2/22. This is keep your eye on the target. You can guess what you think that might mean, but it may not mean what you think.
All right.
All right, always make sure that your gun is pointed at Satan. Okay? He is the enemy. We are not to pray against people, but we are to pray against evil. All right? Matthew 6:9, Lord's Prayer. Y'all can turn there. I typed it out. Well, I just typed the first one. You can watch the deep state puppets and you can watch what they do, even with Ukraine. You can see that the real truth is they divert the truth from themselves and blame the person, these others, for what they are doing themselves. And that's the way the devil is. Exactly. All right. But let's start with verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He goes on to say, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't necessarily think that's translated right, because I believe Jesus paid for all sin for all time. But what it's really saying here is we can make it an obstacle where we maybe don't get blessings or things that we're wanting to get because maybe we have some hindrances in the way because right here, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, there's a part we have to play to be delivered from evil. Okay. I like how the master walked. I liked his example of how he walked. He showed us the way. This is Matthew 16. I'm going to look at 21. From this time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. What did Jesus do? But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, who? Not Peter, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So it's real easy to look at the puppet president or look at all the people that are playing their part and look at them and want to blame them and want to criticize them and want to, you know. But we're not to get distracted off of them, that person, but we're to look at the devil. What did Jesus do? He looked past Peter and said, get thee hence, Satan. It's easy to do that. It's easy to point at a person. Our most powerful weapon, especially concerning prayer, is love. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's times, I mean, I had someone in my life that made my life miserable and I felt like just had an evil plot against me. Before this person passed away, the Lord said, you remit that person's sins. See, it's easy to look at a person that's coming against you and attacking you and look at them as the enemy. But who is it really? the devil. All right. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I think a lot of people kind of mistake charity. Really, it should have been love here. I think they deliberately mistranslated this, because charity, we think handout, but really, God is love. We're talking about God's love here, not a handout. I'm become as if I have not, let's just say love, have not love, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. Love never fails. This is what God says. He is love, and that love never fails. So love overlooks the faults of others. Love can see past the person and see who the real culprit is, the one behind the curtain. All right, by focusing on the real culprit, that is the devil, we do not target people. Now we're kind of trying to target areas and institutions and different things, but we have to even be careful with that we let the Lord help us to know exactly how we're supposed to speak and what we're supposed to say. Back in the 90s, Amber was working at a hair salon in, I'll just say, a big box store here. And in the front, they had a hair salon. And one day they called her and said they fired her because they accused her of stealing. And she said, I didn't steal anything. Anyway, they fired her, this lady manager, ethnic lady manager. Anyway, I remember I was walking in this store one day, and the Lord said to me, don't hold grudges. Don't hold a grudge against that place. Because I was going to tell everybody, don't you? Yeah, that was what they did to my daughter. So I said, okay, Lord, I forgive them for what they did. And it was not very long. We got a call on the phone, and this manager that accused Amber was actually the one that was stealing, and they booted her, and they asked Amber to come back to work. Now, if I'd have held on to that grudge, then look what it would have cut off blessings. It would have for Amber. And for us too, because when she didn't work, somebody had to pick up the slack. So we need to be, you know, because what does occupy mean? It means we take over. If we take over, God takes over, right? Think about it like that. If we're to occupy till he comes, well, what are we supposed to be occupying? Well, we're supposed to be enforcing the kingdom of God in the earth. I mean, we personally get it, and it's ours now. Nuh-uh. I see why a lot of people don't like dominionism, is what they call it, because they think, well, you're just trying to grab everything for yourself. No, Jesus told us to occupy the earth. Well, what did he tell Adam? He told him, okay, I've made you in my likeness and my image. I want you to subdue it, take dominion over. In other words, this store over here operates under the kingdom of God. They honor God. They honor God's ways, his rules. This is God's government. We need not to take their positions from them and kick them out. We need to usher God's kingdom into it. See the difference? That's love instead of, nah, y'all got to go. Get out, get out, get out. No, that's not what we're about. were about changing their minds for the better. Think about it. Looking at it a different way. Okay, if Jesus would suggest that you forgive 490 times a day, then you can see here how powerful our love walk is in everything we do. This is Matthew 18. Starting with verse 23. We've really got to watch our mouths. We really have to ask the Holy Spirit to be the doorkeeper of our mouth, our thoughts too, but our mouths, that we say the right thing, because this is how we create. It can be our greatest blessing or our worst enemy. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Learning to, if someone's wronged us, we bless. Someone don't do good business with you, you bless. Not curse, not tell everybody in town how sorry they are. All right. If our eye is on the target, Satan, then it won't be on our brother, right? I know we've had a lot of warfare, but some of it might be self-inflicted. When we talk about people, bash a leader or gossip, bring up faults of others, we are shooting ourselves in the foot, so to speak. Yeah. See, with Amber, it was a institution. And it was also a manager of that institution. I said, don't hold grudges. That's the same as boycott. Now, I know the president says boycott, the real president. But that's not God's way, I don't think, to boycott. He didn't say boycott. He said, speak to your mountains. All right, let's keep going. When we release love into the equation, we release God into the equation. Because God is love, right? Satan would like nothing better than to get your eyes off of him, the target, onto a brother, a business, etc. He wants to keep you fighting. What do you think these Luciferians have done? They're like their father, the devil. All they do is cause division. That's why they finance both sides of the war and get people in fighting, try to separate them by gender, by race, by religion, by whatever. Total division. A house divided against itself can't stand. That's why the Democrats have done as much as they've done, because they stick together. And the ones that are supposed to be on the right and doing the right fight with each other. All right. Satan is the master of distraction. Even, I guess, up to 490 times a day. I want to read that scripture. Besides the Lord's Prayer, we have been given another prayer. In fact, we are to pray this prayer first, it says, even before the Lord's Prayer. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2. We do this in our confessions over the nation. Verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, not just the good ones, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Yep. When we have a beef, we take it to the Commander-in-Chief, our Heavenly Father. That's what we're supposed to do. Right before the Lord's Prayer, there are some instructions. This is Matthew 6. There was a precursor to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto thee, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And after this manner, pray this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. So we're not to curse our enemies. How would we curse them? Think about it. Talk bad about them. Talk about all the bad they have done. Well, listen to this. This is Matthew 5. This is 5:43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Whoa! Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. See, he sent Jesus before to take away the sins of the world. I mean, even people that run around out there, they don't know God, they're sinners, Jesus already forgave them. That's how the Heavenly Father is. Want to live like God lives and act like God acts. He blesses the righteous and the wicked. He doesn't just bless his own. He does everything he can, or he's done all that he can do to bring them to repentance. He loves them. He created them. But they have to choose. All right, James chapter 3. I guess I didn't write that scripture down about Peter asked the Lord how many times he needed to forgive his brother, and he said up to 7 times, and Jesus said, no, up to 70 times 7. I'm sure Peter's mind was blown in one day. James 1:31. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Think about that. That's what I mean. Sometimes are they self-inflicted wounds that we're experiencing? Is it because maybe we have not walked in our love walk like we should? Behold, he puts bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. We got to have Holy Ghost help for this. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, even a vine figs? Or can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It keeps going. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So God operates in love. He does not operate in this other. Even his judgment is righteous. We need to discipline ourselves to always keep our eye on the target and always remember it is the culprit behind the curtain pulling the strings. Always. A person believes we may not have so much warfare if we keep our tongues in check and start loosing love wherever we go. Yes, even on our enemies. All right, this is called the royal law. I'm going to just read some scriptures to you here. You can just listen or you can turn there. The first one is Proverbs chapter 4. Some of them I've already typed out, but the longer ones I didn't. This is Proverbs 4. Verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and a perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. All right, James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. These are all out of the ESV translation. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life from the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's a good one. 1 Peter 3:10. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I remember Brother Hagin always used to say this, you never light your candle by putting someone else's out. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Keith Moore always used to say, talk little, sin little. Or talk a lot, sin a lot. All right. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. All right, this is Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Psalms 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Loose lips sink ships. Psalms 34:13. Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He opens wide his lips comes to ruin. I believe you get the idea here. Let's keep our eye on the target and always remember to bless and not curse people, places, or things. God at times will have us curse evil and speak what we want, but when it comes to people, we must be very cautious how we pray and what we speak. Okay. All right. Got a lot of intel. Some of it you probably